gripped him, the slow pace of it, the sweep of sea and cliff, the roll of green hills that went shimmering toward shadowed mountains. The wanderlust that the Gallaghers were famed for had skipped over him, and Sean was well-rooted in Ardmore's sandy soil. He had no desire to travel as his brother Aidan had done, or as Darcy spoke of doing. All that he needed was right at his fingertips. He saw no point in changing his view, though he supposed he had, in a way. All of his life he'd looked out his bedroom window toward the sea. It had been there, just there, foaming against the sand, dotted with boats, rough or calm, and every mood in between. The scent of it was the first thing he'd breathe in as he leaned out of his window in the morning. But when his brother had married the pretty Yank, Jude Francis Murray, the previous fall, it seemed right to make a few adjustments. In the Gallagher way, the first to marry took over the family home, and so Jude and Aidan had moved into the rambling house at the edge of the village when they returned from honeymooning in Venice. Given the choice between the rooms above the pub and the little cottage that belonged to the Fitzgerald side of Jude's family, Darcy had decided in favor of the rooms. She'd browbeaten Sean, and whoever else she could twist around her beautiful finger, into painting and hauling until she'd turned Aidan's once sparse rooms into her own little palace. That was fine with Sean. He preferred the little cottage on the Ferry Hill with its view of the cliffs and the gardens and its blessed quiet. Nor did he mind the ghost who walked there. He'd yet to see her, but he knew she was there. Lady Gwen, who wept for the fairy lover she had cast away and waited for the spell to run its course and free them both. Sean knew the story of the young maid who'd lived 300 years before in that very same cottage on that very same hill. Carrick, prince of the fairies, had fallen in love with her, but instead of giving her the words offering his heart, he had shown her the grandeur of the life he would give her. 3 times he brought her a silver bag of jewels, first diamonds cast from the fire of the sun, then pearls formed from the tears dripped from the moon, and finally sapphires wrung from the heart of the sea. But doubting his heart and her own destiny, she refused him, and the jewels he poured at her feet, so legend had it, became the very flowers that thrived in the dooryard of the cottage. Most of the flowers slept now, Sean thought, bedded down as winter blew over the coast. The cliffs where it was said the lady often walked were stark and barren under a brooding sky. A storm was biding its time, waiting to happen. The morning was a raw one, with the wind knocking at the windows and sneaking in to chill the cottage. He had a fire going in the kitchen hearth, and his tea was hot, so he didn't mind the wind. He liked the arrogant music it made while he sat at the kitchen table, nibbling on biscuits and toying with the lyrics for a tune he'd written. He didn't have to be at the pub for an hour yet, but to make sure he got there at all, he'd set the timer on the stove and, as a backup, the alarm clock in his bedroom. With no one there to shake him out of his dreams and tell him to get his ass moving, he tended to forget the time altogether. Since it irritated Aidan when he was late and gave Darcy an excuse to hammer at him, he did his best to stay on schedule. The trouble was, when he was deep enough in his music, the buzzing and beeping of the timers didn't register, and he was late in any case. He was swimming in it now, in a song of love that was young and sure of itself, the sort to Sean's thinking that was as fickle as the wind but fun while it lasted. A dancing tune, he decided, that would require fast feet and flirting. He would try it out at the pub sometime, once it was polished a bit, and if he could convince Darcy to sing it. Her voice was just right for the mood of it. Too comfortable to bother going into the parlor where he jammed the old piano he bought when he moved in, he tapped his foot for rhythm and refined the lyrics. He didn't hear the banging at the front door, the clomp of footsteps down the hallway, or the muttered curse. Typical, Brenna thought, lost in some dream world again while life went on around him. She didn't know why she'd bothered to knock in the first place. He rarely